Good morning. You guys turn your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2. Caleb Wilson was trying to tell me that Mrs. City's birthday is the day after his. Does anybody know if that's true? So Billy and Tanisha both got out of this. And so I'm not going to re-sing because I'm not a singer, especially into the microphone, but Billy and Tanisha, why don't you guys stand? So you didn't get to face the music, at least you can face the audience here. So please stand up, ladies, and happy birthday to you as well. You always got to watch those people who try to fly under the radar, right? Just a couple quick things. Public reading: King Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. Guys, something greater than Solomon is here. Amen. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The spiritual riches and the heavenly riches. The wisdom. All in, guys, Christ is the only source of real wisdom. All of that is in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray that all the earth would seek the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ to hear the wisdom that He is from God our Father. I appreciate also the stewardship and the Lord's Supper meditation. You know, the stewardship is really true. Guys, there is, Daryl, the hope. If our hope is in this life, we're in big trouble. There's just nothing. Everything here is empty. But man, that eternal life in the presence of the Lord, it fills us with hope and brings hope to us every single day. Now, as far as the other stuff you were talking about that I didn't get, I'll have to chat with you later because I had no clue what in the world you were talking about. But the part I got was really good. So, appreciate that. And then the Lord's Supper meditation, you know, true. Love. Loving not just those who are lovable, not loving those who love us, not being kind just to those who are kind to us, but the love of God manifested in our lives. That is the Lord's Supper. What is this about? About Jesus. Who is Jesus? And He gives us His life. Man, I'm already a little late getting started, but I was thinking, we talked about this in a Bible study a little bit the other night, stem cell research, and I don't like a lot of what they do with aborted babies. They use a lot of times the aborted babies for stem cell research, but not... There are other stem cells that they get from people who are, you know, living or who have died. But one of the interesting things about some of that stem cell research is to put that life back in, it can rewire and renew, and it can actually bring health to positions of your body or brain that was injured and unhealthy. And I was thinking of the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus said, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in yourselves." Okay, this is a lot better than just stem cells. This is Jesus. Okay, we get Him. He helped where we were wounded, where we were injured. He brings health to us. And part of that health that He brings, that being perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect, is actually being able to love when we've been all in one way or another not loved. Or in what the name of love was, everything but love. And the Lord brings that to us, and just appreciative for that. All right, Romans chapter 2. I'm going to read 17 through 29. Next week, brethren, I'm really going to preach about the context of this. But today I'm going to key in on the name of God that shows up in verse 24. But I'm going to read context, and next week, Lord willing, I'll have a message on the context of this. Romans chapter 2, verse 17. It says, "But if you bear the name Jew, and rely upon the law, and boast in God, and know His will, and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment and knowledge of knowledge and of the truth, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You say that one should not commit adultery. Do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you breaking the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you're a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If therefore the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you, who though having the letter of the law and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Let's pray. Lord, we do praise you. We thank you for your eternal plan. And that plan includes that your name would be made known, both in the heavens above and on earth below. And it would be known through the obedience of the faith of your people. Lord, I ask that you be with me today as I preach your word, that I would communicate clearly and that we could have an understanding, Lord, of who you are through your name. Your name that is forever. I pray, Lord, that as we understand, have a deeper understanding of who you are, that we would really be interested in walking by faith so that your name would be glorified through us rather than blasphemed among the nations. Lord, may you be glorified. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You know, like I say, the context of this I'm going to hit next week. The reality of it is, if you're trying to be justified by law, if your approach is law, law produces actually hypocrisy. Law cannot produce real holiness. Law produces hypocrisy. It's an external, the focus is on the external. To look good and to carry yourself a certain way in terms of the view of everybody else. But in actuality, it actually, because it produces hypocrisy, the name of God ends up being blasphemed among those who would try to be justified by that. It's only but through the system of faith and ultimately through what God does in circumcising our heart, where He puts His Spirit within us, that we actually can walk the way that He wants us to walk, and His name is actually able to be glorified through us. So today I want to though talk about the name of God. And hopefully through understanding who God is and having a better understanding of that, we can come back and talk about why we want that name to be glorified. You know, one of the great challenges, brother, is to get the focus off of self and onto God. The challenge of self, you know, everywhere I go, here I am. And it's really easy to think of, to have the whole world colored through my eyes, through these lenses right here. And you know, there's a saying out there that, you know, people sometimes think everybody's talking bad about them. And there's a saying, it's not very polite, but it does have some truth to it. It's like, don't flatter yourself. You know, not everybody even thinks about you. Okay, to be talking about you. Lots of times it says, it goes back to the nature of who are you worried about? What, you? I mean, that's you thinking about yourself. You know, sometimes I find I have spots on my clothes and but guys, honestly, I'm sure a few of you would notice, but most of you aren't going to notice spots on my clothes or whether or not my tie was wrinkly today, or you just aren't going to pay that much attention to me. Hey, I certainly don't notice those kind of things. I barely notice it about myself. But that, you know, that if you wonder if there's any question about the egocentric nature of man, just look at the selfie infatuation of today. And we buy sticks that can extend out so we can, you know, get that perfect selfie. It's kind of crazy, actually. Okay? But it tells us just how important we think we are, right? And we, you know, hey, we want to get so many likes on our Facebook or Twitter, or I don't know if Instagram does likes, or I don't understand how that works. But basically, we want responses from other people about me. And God's working on us to get us to understand it's not about me. It's about God. And so when we talk about His name, I want us to think about something. A name, because a name is important. I'll be honest with you, when we named our children, most of them, we just named them because we liked the name. But Caleb in particular, my son Caleb, I put a little thought into his name. I like that name. And the reason I like that name isn't because it has something to do with the meaning of a dog. Caleb, I'm sorry. But it's actually the scriptural Caleb. The scripture speaks of him as having an extraordinary spirit. It's like, I like that. I want a name like Caleb because I want him to have an extraordinary spirit. You look through the scriptures and names are important. You know, you can think about the names of what we think of as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those aren't those guys' original names. Hey, their original names are what? Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael? Hey, those names got changed. Nebuchadnezzar changed their names. He changed Daniel's. We kept Daniel's name. But he changed all, each of those guys' names. Their original names had to do with God. And he changed each of their names had to do with different gods of the Babylonians. He understood the importance of a name and its value, what it carries with it. Think about Simon, who Jesus changed his name to Peter. Peter, going to be a rock, right? Why do you think Jesus did that? Because Peter needed to change the way that he saw himself. And certainly we see it play out in Peter's life. What the Lord, the work that he did with that. But he gave him a name for that. And so God has a name. And the real question, you know, ultimate question in our lives is whether or not we're going to bring glory and honor to God's name or whether his name's going to be blasphemed because of it. I saw something recently that said, you know, if you're not going to act like a Christian, don't tell people you are one. Something along those lines. That'd be helpful, wouldn't it? Be helpful sometimes because that's what I'm preaching on next week. Today I want to speak of the name of God. Most of us are familiar with the Ten Commandments, the third commandment. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." That is, God's name is important. But don't use that in vain. Now, I will say by way of passing, this isn't primarily what I'm preaching on, but it is shocking to me how often people take the name of the Lord in vain. You know, I know we're, as long as we're shortening everything up for texting purposes and all, you know, OMG, right? Guys, if you think you might mean, oh my gosh, okay? But what's the other person think? And anyways, what is gosh? Just out of curiosity. I think it's a substitute way. So just something to think about, right? Oh my goodness, just think about what you're saying. But the actual taking the name of God in vain, it's a big deal, and it certainly does include cursing. Okay? As Christians, guys, that's something we want to make sure when we speak of the name of God, we speak of that in reverence. We speak the name of Jesus Christ. As we get to this, we'll see. But we definitely do not want to take that name lightly or leave other people with an impression of God other than somebody we totally honor and respect. You know, the book of Malachi, one of the questions that comes up, God says, if I'm your father, where's my honor? That's a fair question, isn't it? And the world we live in, lots of times, you know, today I know that dads aren't always honored the way that they should be. But really, it should be kind of a daddy, sir. The daddy is the love part, and the sir is I respect. God deserves that. Okay? His name is to be valued. Go with me to Leviticus. I just want to touch base real quick. It does, like I said, it includes cursing. So I think it's certainly something that we want to understand how serious this is to God. Leviticus 24, verse 10. "Now the son of an Israelite woman..." Leviticus 24, verse 10. "Now the son of an Israelite woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the sons of Israel, and the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel struggled with each other in the camp. And the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. I'll let you read on. You know, the serious nature of this is in verse 16. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The alien as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. I understand that's Old Covenant. We're not going to have a big rock party after assembly and get anybody that's done this. But the reality of it is, the spiritual nature of this is that we all of us, you know, you start reading through the Old Testament, what people get put to death for. So there wouldn't be many of us left alive in this room. Oh yeah, guess what? We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, weren't we? Okay, so there is a spiritual aspect of this. But I also want us to understand that taking the name of the Lord in vain isn't limited to cursing. We see from our context in Romans that the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of unrighteous behavior of those who claim to wear His name. Even the world, I think, understands this concept to a degree. We think about a name as a reputation. You know, that we understand the importance of reputation. Your reputation opens doors, or it closes doors, depending on what your reputation is. You know, the signature. How valuable is your signature? When it comes to finances, guys, we think about your value. A lot of it has to do with maybe how much income you have coming in. I'm sure a lot of that is true. But a lot of it has to do with what's the record of your finances in the past. Okay? Whether that signature means anything. Okay? When you want your signature to mean something, it's based off of what you've done. That reputation. We, like I say, the world understands this to a large degree. And think about it in terms of a name, even a name bigger than ourselves. You know, the off-the-field crime of athletes. Hey, got to kick them off the team because they're representing the team. It hurts the front of the jersey. How about people who've been fired for their tweets that they've made while they were logged into their public account? Oh, you're fired. There's a representation of a name, something bigger than yourself. Wayward children who tarnish the family name. Now, and that's a lot more common across the board. But unfortunately, that's becoming the norm. But, you know, in the past, man, if you tarnish the family name, there's some repercussions. You know, hopefully you get invited to Thanksgiving. But if you continue to do that, and I've known people, that you guys know, the older generation, man, you continue to do that, you're going to be basically phased out of the family. You're not going to be recognized as part of that. So, you know, how important is God's name? I would submit that it's a whole lot more important than Wilson, a lot more important than Taco Bell, whatever name you want to put in there, a lot more important than the name of the Bobcats, or whatever other team. The name of God's important. We're His people. We represent His name. And so, God's name, what is this about? His name, guys, communicates His eternal character. Go back to Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh.'" Exodus 6, verse 1. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he shall let them go. And under compulsion he will drive them out of his land.' God spoke further to Moses and said to him, 'I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them.'" What? In your Bibles there, What does he mean? "By my name, I did not make myself known to them." Your Bible, where it says Lord, there's going to be all caps, isn't it? Capital L, slightly smaller, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay? Sometimes in the Bible, matter of fact, if you look at God Almighty there, okay, it's just capital G, little O, little D. Okay, lots of times in your Bible, in the Old Testament, you'll see capital L, little O, little R, little D. Okay, this word Lord right here means master, sir. It can be king and it can be God, because He is our master. He is our ultimate sir. But it's not limited to the usage of God. This name, Lord, right here, they don't translate it. They're afraid. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But that word, and if we were to actually Yahweh, that's the name of God. God said, you know, I made myself known back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but not by my name. To Moses, he said, I'm making you known to you by my name. Let's jump back like three chapters. Chapter 3 of Exodus. One thing about Moses, you can say what you want to about this guy in terms of his reticence to head back into Egypt and let God's people out. And you can talk about his excuses, but Moses is a smart guy. He asks all the right questions. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent me to you. And God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial name to all generations. Notice there in verse 15, when it says the Lord, it's all caps, Yahweh. God says, this is my name forever. Now, what does that name mean? Well, if Yahweh, when we say it, it would be like He is. He exists. When God says it, speaking of Himself, He says, I am. And that communicates something, guys, about the nature of who God is. Well, a question kids have from the time they're little, and they start, where did God come from? Who made God? Tough one to explain, isn't it? Because nobody made God. He didn't come from anywhere. He is. There is the eternal nature of God is associated with this name. His eternal character is there, and it's related to us in that name. Eternity is something really difficult for all of us to understand, because we all have a start date, and everything that we know has a start date and a finish date. God says, that's not me. I'm not stuck in time. I don't have the same limitations you do. I am. This name for God, guys, is used over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. This is God's name. And like I said, it shows up in our Bibles, New American Standard, King James, all of these, the same way as this. When you see all caps in the Old Testament, that's what this is talking about. Be careful. In the New Testament, you won't see that unless it's a quotation of the Old Testament. And that doesn't mean it's this, because all quotations of the Old Testament, they come forth in the New, they do this with. So don't jump to conclusion. It's just a little warning for you. You have to go back and check out the Old Testament source to see if that's saying Lord Adonai Master, or if it's saying Yahweh. Okay, you can do that on your own. Lord willing, we'll get to an example here of that. But this name, hey, this is how it shows up in our Bibles. Why? I personally like Rotherham's, Dave Dunbar and Josh Gohl have. And I do have to say one thing about Josh Gohl. Some of you were here Wednesday night, and I called on him for something about Rotherham's. And I think most of you just figured he didn't have it with him. I thought he was just zoned out or something. He came up to me right afterwards, and he was wearing earplugs because you saw him up here signing Jesus Loves Me. He was trying to see how much he could get out of the message just by signing. So anyways, Josh wasn't sleeping or anything. Just wanted to throw that in there for free. I can usually count on him having a Rotherham's, but thankfully we got Dave Dunbar up here as well. But Rotherham's, it actually translates it Yahweh. Which I wish the Bible, they would have. Why didn't they? Your Bibles will have notes in the beginning and will tell you why. The Jews, once they understood when God said, hey, you blaspheme this name, you'll be put to death. The reverence that God said, I want you to have for this name, they were terrified of that. And so they were so afraid of taking his name in vain that they wouldn't pronounce it. And that is the reasoning behind why it shows up in our Bibles as Lord, not Yahweh. Like I said, I wouldn't be my preference because the reality of it is God wants us to revere his name in our hearts, to use it the right way because of our understanding of who he is. But some of you have seen the digital Dead Sea Scrolls. The translation of, so if you go back and you look at Isaiah chapter 53 and the Dead Sea Scrolls, and it's there in Hebrew, and so I love it because it just establishes that was completed before Jesus ever came to earth. But you can put your little cursor over it and it'll translate that into English today, and you'll find, hey, what they had there is what we have now. It's really cool. But when they first, I think a Google project, when they first did it, the guys that they had translated, of course, were Jewish people who understood Hebrew. And when it came to the Lord, Yahweh, it wasn't Yahweh that I saw, and it wasn't the Lord, and it was some Jewish word. I had no idea. I had to look it up, and it meant the name. They're afraid to say it. Okay? That's the reverence they hold this in. So, the name of God, He is, or when He says it, I am. Now, let's transition here a little bit. What about the name of Jesus? Well, the name of Jesus in Hebrew is Yahshua, or Yeshua, which means Yah saves. It's interesting, isn't it? Go with me to John chapter 8. Oh, there's a group out there called Jehovah's Witnesses. And Jehovah's Witnesses understand that the name Yahweh, they pronounce it Jehovah, is the name of God. And so they have an understanding of that. But they want to tell you that the name of that Jesus is not God. That He's not Jehovah. That He's Jehovah's Son. And they make this distinction between Jesus and Jehovah. So what about the name of Jesus? Well, it means Yah saves. That's true. But Jesus made the claim to be Yahweh appearing in the flesh. Here in John chapter 8, verse 56, Jesus tells these Jews, He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Right, you can see the wheels turning here. Now, wait a second. The Jews therefore said, you're not yet 50 years old. You seen Abraham? Like, we thought this guy was out there. And now we know it. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. People have a hard time getting that, but the Jews didn't have a hard time getting that. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him. They regard that as blasphemy of the name. Jesus claiming to be Yahweh, I am. Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Hey, I'll let you go back and check it out. Jesus does show up a few times, appears to Abraham a couple times. One time you're going to see there's two other angels that show up. And Jesus and the other two angels, they go on into Sodom, don't they? But there's one, it doesn't say, the third one goes, and all of a sudden Abraham has this conversation with Yahweh. He didn't know that was his name, but who is that? Before Abraham was born, I am. He rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So Jesus makes that claim to be Yahweh. Jesus is described in the book of Revelation as having this character communicated by the name of Yahweh. Now, the name in the New Testament, guys, you won't see Yahweh. Because the New Testament is written in Greek, and it's Kurios. And Kurios is Lord, and it's every type. So you can't figure out, apart from context, what that is. But the substance is still there. It's communicated in Revelation. I'm not going to read these, but chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus says, I am the first and the last. Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. You look at the beginning of Revelation 1, and the Alpha and Omega is attributed to the eternal Yahweh. Okay? Jesus, the scripture goes on. Go with me to Revelation chapter 1. I want to just bring this one out here. Revelation 1, verse 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. That's Jesus speaking there. Alpha and Omega. And the way He says it, who is, who was, and who is to come. You ought to be able to make that connection. I am. He is. Okay? So, you know, and then we can start asking ourselves some questions. You start looking back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah sees in this vision, he sees the Lord, Adonai, on the throne, train of his robe, filling the temple. But then, all of a sudden, we see these angelic creatures, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And you say, I wonder what it was that Isaiah saw there. He immediately goes, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm going to die. Because my eyes have seen the King. Yahweh of hosts. Who was it that Isaiah saw there? Go with me to John chapter 12. And one of the Isaiah, as long as we're talking about Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53 starts out with, Lord, who has believed a report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You check that out, Yahweh. Who that's talking about. That's Isaiah again. And so in John chapter 12, in verse 36, my version's in the middle of the verse, switches from red to black. Now I want to start where in the black of John 12, verse 36. These things Jesus spoke, and He departed and hid Himself from them. But though He had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in Him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which He spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You can go back, check it out in the Old Testament. You're going to see that's Yahweh. For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, He's blinded their eyes and He hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them. That's exactly in that context of Isaiah 6 when he says, my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts. Verse 41, these things Isaiah said because he saw His glory. The context of His glory here is Jesus. He saw Jesus' glory and he spoke of Him. You know who Isaiah saw? The resurrected, glorified Christ. And he said, his eyes had seen Yahweh. Jesus is Jehovah. Jesus is Yahweh. And do the same thing. The end of Joel, chapter 2, verse 32, talks about everyone who calls on the name of Yahweh will be saved. Peter preaches in Acts chapter 2. And he brings that up. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You go back to Joel 2, where that's quoted from, that's Yahweh. Peter continues to build his message. And as he builds his message, he gets to verse 36, and he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And then they say, when they heard this, they're pierced the heart. They say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter says to them, repent and be immersed, and literally this is upon the name of Jesus Christ. By the way, this is how you call on the name of the Lord. Scripture's consistent on that and clear on that. But you follow this through. He just establishes that God made Him Lord and Christ. Jesus is Lord, and He's talking about Yahweh. You call on the name of the Lord, you're immersed upon the name of Jesus Christ. And what name matters? The reason I'm going this direction with this is that sometimes people tell you, well, unless you use the word Yahweh, unless you use the name Yahweh all the time, every time, then you're not giving God His proper due. Well, I just want you to notice in the New Testament, this has actually been, Mike prayed about it in his prayer. I think Josh Gohl read it. Philippians chapter 2. Just interesting the way that the Lord's working sometimes. Philippians chapter 2. What name really matters here? Philippians 2 verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brethren, Jesus is Yahweh. That is His name, is the name that's above every name. It's the name of Jesus that saves. You can go to Acts chapter 4. And, you know, this miracle that's done, this miracle of healing that's been done in the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. And I believe it's Peter and John there who are explaining this. And they said, there is no other name that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Yah saves. It's the name of Jesus. How important is this name? Pretty important. Salvation, no other way. We understand who Jesus is. And we understand God really has an interest in His name being glorified. I want to throw in one other little zinger for you to think about. You ever notice Matthew 28:19-20? It tells people, it tells us, gives us this great commission, right? Go and make disciples of all the nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I command you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So we see three names mentioned there. But when you see the pattern in the book of Acts, for example, people are being immersed in the name of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Oh yeah. Because His name is the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Spirit. That's why. It's who He is. So, God's intensely interested, guys, in His name being glorified. He deserves it. He deserves that honor. He deserves that glory. I want... You will have fun doing this. If you're interested in this kind of stuff, you will have fun doing this. Type into a Bible search engine, sake, and name. And you see how many times God talks about for the sake of His name. It's about 30 times in the Bible. God is interested, very interested, for the sake of His name. Go back with me in Romans. We'll wrap up here. Romans chapter 1. I know this might be a little heavy duty for some of you guys. You know, some of you are new or haven't got this before, but man, the Bible's layered. God wants us to know Him. His name communicates something incredibly important about who He is. And in Romans chapter 1, He tells you His goal, His mission here. I'm just going to read verse 5 for the sake of time. It says, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for His name's sake. Brother, we're going to see, go through this next week. The law cannot bring glory to the name of Yahweh. The law cannot glorify God's name. People trying to live by the law, all they're going to do is die by the law. And they're going to be a blasphemy to that name. It is only through faith. God says this is the obedience comes through faith. It's only through obedience of the faith that God's name gets the glory and honor that He deserves. I'm interested in glorifying His name. How about you? So how important is it, brethren, that we learn to live by faith and not to die by the law? It's not just about us. It's not just about my salvation. It's not just about me being right. It's about God for His glory, for His honor. This is the only way it's going to be done. The obedience of faith among the Gentiles for His name's sake. Let's stand.